And 2014 continues on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another round of Trending Mobile Technology. This is episode 69. And cutting into his sleep time, my special guest across the pond, returning from the depths of blogtalkradio.com, only one Mark. Mark, welcome back to the show. I'm very glad to have you back with me, and we covered it briefly in the pre-show, but you have a brand new two new brand new technology additions to your family. If you could please share with everybody what you got going on.
Indeed, I was a really good boy last year, obviously, because Santa bought me a PS4, and I got a new phone on Christmas Eve because my contract was up, and I was looking for a cheaper alternative just because of the way the UK phone market works between HTC One and the Nexus, which I really wanted, but was going to cost me too much money. So I got a Sony Xperia Z, and I think I've almost fallen in love with my phone. It's really, really nice. Really nice.
That's always good to hear.
In a lot of ways.
So just tell me, before we get too far into the show.
It surprised me, to be honest.
Right. And that's we're going to get into that really hardcore here in a little bit once we get into some of the show notes. But before we get too carried away, you know, you're coming up from Nexus 4 was your old device, is that correct?
S2.
Galaxy S2, that's right. So if you could, please, share with me and those that are going to be listening the transition going from the S2 to the Xperia Z. The transition, what it was like making that change, what it felt like when you were running with the S2 and what you're running now in the Sony space, and just the comparison between the two, if you could.
Well, besides the slightly bigger size thing, it's difficult because my S2 has started to play up in the last few months. So, it was starting to wind me up. So, you know, apps weren't working, or I had, I emailed you when I had a Swift key issue. I was like, oh no, I've done an install and now, an upgrade and now it's not working. That was probably the worst moment in my entire life. I think I just panicked when I had to go back to the Galaxy, the old Samsung keyboard for a little bit. But is it like the Samsung, if we use a Mountie phrase or Mr. Old School phrase, the special sauce that you get with Samsung that constantly reminds you that, you know, there's things in their Samsung store or you need to do this Samsung app update. The Sony special sauce, it doesn't ask you to do stuff. It's just there, and you can disable it if you don't want to use it. So, I mean, you get Sony Walkman for your music if you go that way, which, you know, Sony's always good for music. Headphones, the quality of sound, the quality of the picture is 100 times better. Because you've got a 1080p screen. So there's little things that I noticed at the moment in the transition. I mean, brighter, better screen, better sound, and the source is completely different from Samsung, where it's kind of rammed down your throat a little bit from them.
Right.
I've also moved from Android 4 to 4.3, which is a bit of a change, although I've got a Nexus 7, so I'm already running KitKat, so that's not too much of a change for me.
Right, and that's totally sure. According to the Sony website, end of quarter 2, 2014, the Sony Xperia Z series is supposed to receive the 4.4 update. So, and just so that everybody knows that I'm a big old spec freak, I preach specs to people, and just bouncing a little bit off of what you were saying, Mart, TouchWiz, it's just, there's no other way to describe it better than what you did, is it is rammed down your throat. That Samsung sauce is rammed down your throat. And the fact that you can disable that in the Sony space is awesome. I mean, that's just, that in itself is a really good thing as far as I'm concerned. And as far as the spec between these two devices go, pretty similar. Here we go, 146 grams on the Sony compared to 116 grams on the S2. Now, you did mention there is the bigger screen size, so obviously there's going to be some weight with that. You're running 4.1 on the Xperia, where the S2 came stock with 2.3, but it is also running 4.3. Samsung currently doesn't have any announcements on the board concerning the update to 4.4, but you've mentioned that your Nexus 7 helps you compensate for that. HSPA is not available for either device or WiMAX. The Xperia does support LTE while the S2 does not. Both support Wi-Fi hotspotting, Wi-Fi direct, SMS, MMS, email, but neither one have HDMI out. They do support USB. The Xperia supports MHL export. That's interesting. Bluetooth 4 versus Bluetooth 3. NFC on the Xperia, and it says here the S2 also has NFC, but I don't remember being able to utilize that feature on my S2, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Both are running 1080p, and you've got that 2.2 megapixel front-facing camera and a 13.1 megapixel in the rear on that Xperia, as you're only looking at an 8 megapixel in the rear on the S2 and that 2 megapixel in the front. Both supporting LED flashes, but the Xperia has that pulse LED to, the philosophy behind it is it's supposed to eliminate that red eye. Do you take many pictures with your phone, Mark?
I do tend to use my phone a lot. I mean, it's crazy because we've got a Sony, one of the tiny Sony cameras that we only bought 2 years ago, maybe just over 2 years ago, that's got a 12 megapixel camera. And at the time, a couple of years ago, I thought, Jesus, 12 megapixels? And now my phone's got a better camera than my camera, which is just crazy. But I do, we tend to not take the cameras out so much if you go out, especially when you go to places you've been before. So it's quite handy. Your phone, I use my phone a lot more in those ways. I think I take a lot of snaps, like with the boy when we're out on that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. The display size, and this is where we were looking at some of our weight difference. You've got a 5-inch display on the Xperia Z and a 4.3 on the S2. And here's the biggest thing, the seller in my camp. Display resolution. The Xperia is 1080 by 1920. The S2 is 480 by 800, giving a PPI comparison of 441 versus 217. Now, that right there is a comparison in technology. I mean, hands down, Sony came out swinging with this one. All the way down from the 1.5 gigahertz quad core Qualcomm processor going against a 1.2 dual core. I mean, they brought it with this one. You know, you can expand up to 32 gigs on the micro SD with the micro SIM chip. Doesn't support dual simming, but I mean, I you don't do very much international traveling from what I've gathered based on, conversations with you and podcasting and stuff. So, you know, therefore dual simming wouldn't be required. Obviously, it supports MP3, AAC, EAC, WMA, and all that other kind of good stuff. And another big deal breaker, well, not a big deal breaker, enticement for me on this one is it's got a 2400 mAh battery versus the 1650 on the S2. Now, I've gone on the books plenty of times concerning battery life, and Mr. Old School took me to task last time I had him on. You know, how many of me are really out there? You know, I'm launching missiles with mine. I'm conferencing with NORAD and all that kind of good stuff. For more information concerning my illusions and references, check out last week's episode with Mr. Old School where we went toe-to-toe concerning Microsoft. But the 2400 mAh battery, Martin, how's that one working out for you compared to the S2?
Yeah, I think, the last 3 months of my S2, I was charging it twice a day. Mm-hmm. So I was charging it kind of lunchtime, early afternoon at work, and then every night. This, I'm still putting it on charge every night, but I commute to work, so I get on the train, I'm either reading the latest news on my phone whilst listening to music or podcasts, or gaming on it on my hour commute every morning, and checking up on news or emails or Twitter or anything during the day, and then the same set of activities on the way home, which on my S2 would, if I didn't charge it up during the day, it would have died on the way home. This thing, I get home, I've probably got 35-40% battery left, and I mean, I use my phone a lot during the day. I use it a lot, especially with gaming and listening to music or reading on it and stuff. It does get used a lot.
So it's making it through.
I'm quite impressed with the battery life.
Yeah, so it's making through the entire day where the S2 wasn't. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, by a substantial amount.
That's amazing, and that's going to lead us right into our first story this evening. For those who don't quite know, CES. The United States version in Las Vegas, Consumer Electronics Show. It's a global event. It's supposed to be one of the biggest events in the technology space. However, given weather conditions that were happening in North America, they were cited lower attendance, but there were still plenty of things going on. And this coming straight off of the heels of CES, citing, quote, Sony's next flagship, codenamed Cyrus, to feature a Snapdragon 805, 5.2-inch, 2560 by 1440 display, 20.7 megapixel camera, KitKat, and more. Mart, with your new immersion in the Sony space and your new introduction to Sony, this story that just came out, I mean, Sony, I looked at the product placement for the program on CES, and Sony was in there a lot. I mean, a lot. Yeah. Do you think that Sony is working to improve themselves? I mean, they've taken this device. Now, granted, it's still rumored, okay? So the alleged specs on the Sony Cyrus, 5.2-inch display, 2560 by 1440 resolution, 3 gigs of RAM, you've got a 3500 mAh battery, 4.4 KitKat, it's an upgrade from the 800 Snapdragon to the 805, which is supposed to be more energy efficient. So it's going to take that 3500 mAh battery and make it last even longer. Do you think with these releases and the innovations and the pushes that Sony's is putting out there in the quote unquote currently themed CES Internet of Things, do you think Sony is trying to get themselves back into maybe not a top 5, but at least a top 10?
I think if ever there was a time for you to play LL Cool J's Don't Call It a Comeback, I've been here for years, it'd be probably about now, because I think Sony, over the last few years, they've been there or thereabouts, haven't they, in the TV world, not so much in the mobile world and the gaming world. They've always been kind of second rate, but lately, there seems to have been a push over 2013, culminating in their latest Xperia Z1 Ultra, or whatever it is, and the new tablet, and the PS4, and now the mobile gaming space, or the smart TV gaming space that they've started. I think there's a real push, or a real drive from Sony to put themselves back in the forefront, and I think they really are heading in that direction. I mean, I was skeptical about just picking up the Z. I did read, obviously, the reviews and what it had in it and stuff, and I really think they're heading in the right direction again. I think they could be top 5.
Really?
If it goes the way that it's looking, I think you could see them back up there.
Hmm. Now, you've also mentioned that Christmas brought you a PS4. So with that in mind, one of the great things that I've heard about the PS4 and the Sony camp in itself is the ability to go from console to mobile and back again. Have you utilized any of that technology with your Xperia?
I haven't got a PS Vita, so I can't do that. Take my gaming away and leave it on standby and play over the network. But I think I might have to put that on my birthday list.
Right.
But I mean, I've got the Sony PlayStation app, but I can do the stupid things and sign into my account from my mobile. I can turn my PS4 off from my mobile.
Hey, that's kind of cool.
And I've got the PlayStation on. Yeah, it's cool but stupid, but I love it. And the PlayStation Store on my phone, and I can play old PlayStation games on my phone via the PlayStation app. So it's kind of cool.
Now, with the PlayStation app on your Xperia, are there more features on the Xperia versus, say, if you were to install that on another Android device? Say, if I were to throw it on a Note 2, would I have the same features on a Note as you have on an Xperia Z?
I think there's two PlayStation apps. There's PlayStation app, where you can connect to your PSN account and interact with your PS4, except for playing games. But there's also, when I updated to 4.3, it gave me PlayStation Mobile, which I'm not sure because I've only installed it today. I've got access to a whole Sony PlayStation back catalogue where I can either, there's some free or I can pay to download some Sony games. So I think this is along the lines of this new Sony online gaming world that's going to be installed everywhere on smart TVs soon, etc. So I don't know if that's available on other mobiles yet.
Well, that's definitely something to keep an eye on. I think I'm going to agree with you and say that Sony is working to improve their footprint. I mean, if we go back, I'd say 20 years, Sony was the company to beat. I mean, Sony TVs. If you had a Sony TV, you knew what you were talking about. If you had a Sony, and this is. If you had a Sony VCR, okay, whether it be a VHS or a Beta, and yes, I'm really dating myself now, you knew what was going on, you know. if you had anything Sony, you knew what was going on. I mean, you just look at the video industry, the TV industry, and Sony with their SP units, their Beta SPs, they lasted all the way up until things went digital. And even once they went digital, their DSP sets were continuing to move forward. Now things, they've got a couple of things that they're facing against, you know, one way or the other, whether it be advancements or difficulty. You know, their name isn't holding up in the broadcast industry like it used to, just for the simple fact that cost efficiency is definitely a factor that plays. But as far as the consumer goes, I really think that Sony is working to get their foot back into the consumer market. I think they finally realized that, hey, we've kind of dropped the ball on this. We can't expect to be supported by our professional lines all of our days, you know, so they're stepping up. You know, they brought the specs out. I think they're bringing a different kind of game. And that is, that's something that's impressive to me, just for the simple fact that I've spent a lot of time as a fan of Sony. Now, granted, I don't own a Sony device, just for the simple fact that it's expensive and they don't have anything that appeals to me. But in the professional space, when I worked at a production house, everything we had was Sony. Okay, our SP decks were Sony, our head units were Sony, we had Bogan sticks, but I mean, a lot of stuff was Sony, and it was there because it had the quality, and that's, I think that Sony's getting back in there with that, and I'm interested to see what is coming up next with this, And I touched on this just shortly, and I'm going to bring it back into the forefront. As I said, CES is over now, officially. And if I had to put a theme on this year's CES, it would be the Internet of Things. And coming straight off of Wikipedia, the Internet of Things, quote, refers to uniquely identifiable objects and their virtual representations in an internet-like structure, unquote. What do we mean by that? Being connected. Okay, Mark, you mentioned it a little bit here with your Sony Xperia Z. You can log into your PlayStation 4. A lot of things in CES were keeping that communication going with your mobile device and your home. Refrigerators, washing machines, dryers, game systems, televisions, tablets, you name it. Keeping in contact with the home was the primary focus here. And so with that in mind, Mark, the Internet of Things, being connected everywhere you go with everything that you have. Okay, I mean, I read a story where one particular journalist, he sent a text message to a washing machine, and he was holding a conversation with the washing machine. A conversation with a washing machine. I mean, I read this, and I'm like, really? So here's where I've got it. Here's where my mind drops on this one. The manufacturers of this washing machine, I believe it was a Panasonic. I don't remember off the top of my head. Somebody actually had to sit and program responses for this conversation into the washing machine. And then, so, you know, I can understand, because there's some people that don't leave the house without shutting everything off, okay? Shut off the washing machine, shut off the dryer, shut off the lights, shut off the TV, shut off, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And I can understand how that works. But where does that line of distinction get drawn? Oh, honey, did you shut off the washer? No, but I'll text it and see how it's doing. I mean, really? So, Mark, where on your list of things to do every day, where do you rate have a conversation with a, quote, household appliance, unquote?
I was still getting over the shock that somebody's had a conversation with a washing machine.
Yeah.
Have you had a spin yet? What side are you on? I don't know. It's just weird.
It was stupid stuff, very, like how you doing, how you feeling, where are you, you know, things like that. And he just said, glib, non-committal, you know, oh, I'm bored, I wish I were somewhere else, or, you know, just crazy things, okay? Things that would make people like us laugh. But, I mean, the fact is, there was a conversation between a human and a washing machine. Okay, so number one, like I asked, where is it on your list of things to do to have a conversation with a home appliance?
Right at the bottom. Right at the bottom. In the last six months, I've only got over the fact that I can talk to my phone and ask it to do things. You know, that's hard enough. I'm not going to stand there and say, talk to the Hoover and ask it what day it's had. You know, I've been at work. How's your day? It's just weird.
I can just imagine, like, being totally bored out of my, and you mentioned talking to the Hoover. Hey, Hoover, how'd your day go? Oh, it sucked. For those playing the home game, the Hoover over in the UK is a vacuum cleaner, okay? Just like the Hoover over here, right, you know, the Hoover brand. How'd your day go? It sucked. I mean, you know, That's where this goes, but this goes a step further with me, because I start to think, okay, so one of the things that was demonstrated at CES was refrigerators and the new technology refrigerators. Most refrigerators, at least mine, you've got one spot that's a refrigerator, sits about 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and another spot, whether it be upper, lower, or to the left, that's the freezer that sits about 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Forgive me, I don't have my centigrade conversions off the top of my head, but you get the idea. Normal versus frozen. And there was actually a demonstration that was put out there on Maytag. It was an industrial size refrigerator where mom had forgotten to take something out for dinner to defrost, and she had left for already. She sends a text message to the refrigerator, and the refrigerator starts to defrost a particular section of the refrigerator in an effort to thaw whatever it was. Now, throwing this the other way, Mark, outside of having a conversation with your washing machine or the Hoover to ask them what kind of day they've had, does the convenience factor of knowing that you would be able to check in with an appliance and say, I forgot to set out the meat, defrost it for me, is that something that sounds okay, or is that just getting a little bit too high on the creep factor for you?
You know, the idea is nice, because there's been the odd time where myself or my better half have left stuff in the freezer that we were going to eat that night. But, you know, you either buy fresh on the way home or you get a takeaway. Rather than text the freezer, can you defrost me? I don't know. It's weird. It's still weird.
It is weird.
I'd probably get used to it in like 2 or 3 months. Yeah. Yeah, we'll stick with weird.
Okay, we'll stick with, and which I could agree with. I mean, when I read this, I'm just like, really? I mean, number one, how expensive is this technology? Number two, how appealing is it to the everyday market? And number three, outside of the geeks that are out there, you know, as people are, more and more people are coming up to me and saying, seriously, Piper, how many of you are there? Okay. Outside of that little scope, who would this appeal to? I mean, are we getting to a point eventually where this is going to be commonplace, like driverless cars are looking to be commonplace in about 3 years?
I think as for the market this is going to appeal to, right, you've got your real geeky, nerdy type blokes that are slightly, well, let's go stereotypical, obese, sit at home, don't leave the house, who could talk to their fridge or freezer anyway, but they probably won't. They'll probably still use their keyboard.
That's
because
true.
The freezer's in the next room.
That's true. Yeah.
And otherwise, you've got to find a real nerdy woman that's not a housewife. She'd have to be some kind of technology executive that could probably afford a housemaid anyway, but your average Joe is not going to appeal to her at all, is it? I don't think so.
I don't think
it would. But yeah, driverless cars, bring it on.
Right, yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, heck yeah, I'm going for driverless cars too. I mean, I don't like driving. I've got terrible road rage. I do. I prefer to utilize public transit, let somebody else do the driving, you know, and some people look at me and like, oh, that's, you know, isn't that, you know, inconvenient or something? You know, I don't mind driving. I don't. I just don't like the other assholes that are driving around me. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And, you know, the driverless cars, bring it and all that kind of good stuff. You know, the technology, the techno-minded and things like that. Yeah, sure. But being connected to your home while you're away, okay? Let's take this a different direction, okay? Totally different direction. You and your better half are out on the town, okay? And then just for no apparent reason, the power goes out. Not where you're at, but at your home.
Yeah.
Is there the peace of mind knowing that, hey, you know, hey, Mart, this is the refrigerator. Power's gone out. I can keep stuff cold for about 12 hours. Or, you know, a text from, I say this in total jest, but a text from the crock pot saying, hey, the power's out. Dinner will not be ready when you get home. Okay, is that a point of appeal to you for convenience? And not only convenience, but also safety?
See, that's, if it's a one-way message that tells me the power's out, the stuff in the freezer will be fine for 3, 4, 5 hours or whatever, stuff in the fridge is going to be good for 10 before everything's gone bad, that's fine. As long as I don't have to go back and say, Oh, okay. Thanks for letting me know. I hope you're okay and it's not causing you too much trouble in a two-way conversation. That's fine.
So basically what you're saying,
I don't want to hold a two-way conversation.
From the notification stance, it's okay. But if you've got to stroke the ego of your refrigerator in an effort to make sure that it continues to stay motivated to stay insulated or something of that nature, that's where you're drawing the line. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, I'm drawing the line in small talk with any white goods.
I understand. Now, you say white goods. Are majority of appliances over there white?
Well, yeah, they were. They were. Okay. That's what they're called, white goods. All your kitchen stuff. So fridge, dishwasher, washing machine, tumble dryer.
Sure. Yeah, that's what a lot of our stuff over here is white.
But they're not anymore. Yeah, one are all black, so I don't know.
Right, yeah. Well, now we're getting brushed aluminum and the industrial gray and all that other kind of two-word color descriptions. I'm just like, look, black, white, gray, pink, you know, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Be done. And then throw a gray in there for variety if you want to. But, you know, the Internet of Things, you know, being connected, I think that's where we're going. We're seeing it in game systems, okay? PS4, yep. PS Vita, Sony Xperia, they've got their mobile apps that are out.
Have you got the, we've got the, I haven't got one, but my friends have got one with Virgin Media, the cable provider over here. I know you got a TiVo started off your side of the pond, but with the TiVo, Virgin TiVo box, you can have an app on your phone, and if you forget to record something, you can connect your TiVo and either start record instantly if you know the show's on there and then, or do your series link and all that kind of stuff from your app, so you can talk to your TiVo box. So that's already the one connection you have with a household good at the moment.
Right. Right. And that's definitely, you know, that's right. We do have that. We have it, also with Dish, who is, you know, one of our satellite cable providers and something of that nature. You know, remote login, that's been something that's been actually going on for a while over here. Not only just with TiVo, but also with plenty of other, you know, as the Internet of Things started to progress and move forward and things of that nature, just, you know, it made things a little bit different, made things a little, I don't want to necessarily say weird, but it did make things, it did start to raise the awareness. It did start to make things more accessible. And that came in and set on even before the cell phone boom started. So, you know, it is starting to make itself accessible. It is starting to make itself more dominant. It is also starting to introduce to all those that are around what exactly is going on. And that's something that's really interesting, especially to me. You know, I'm not necessarily looking forward to being connected with everything that I own all the time. Okay. I'm definitely not looking forward to having a conversation with, my appliances. Okay. The notification factor, however, is something that appeals to me. You know, bad storm came, power went out based on temperature outside versus temperature inside. I can keep this cool for X amount of time, or, you know, if you're off to the grocery store, maybe you would get a text message from your refrigerator saying, hey, running low on eggs, or running low on ketchup or mayo or mustard or something of that nature. You know, the information, that is what appeals to me. The, you know, having to keep my devices motivated isn't, so, you know, that's getting a little, yeah, that's getting really gray for my, you know, I liked watching iRobot with Will Smith. It had a little bit of that creep factor built into it. But, I mean, I'm just having a conversation with these things, you know, and I look at this from the perspective, and it works out great because my better half, I just upgraded her device not too long ago. She has an HTC One, and she used Google Now for the first time about a week ago. And she's like, so what do? Do I just talk? And I hit the button, and I was like, just ask it a question. and she asked it a question, yeah. and it talked back to her, and she's like, this is cool, you know, and we were out and about, what were we out and about doing? We were out and about doing something. And she's like, well, what are the hours for this place? And I was like, I don't know. I pull up my phone and I was like, what are the store hours for this store tonight? And it came back on my phone. And she's like, what about this place? She's like, what time does the mall close? And I said, what time does the mall close? You know, and that came back. You know, it's like three different places. And she's like, is there anything that your phone doesn't know? I'm like, you know, if the internet isn't correct, then, you know, my phone can only give you the information that's based on the internet. But, you know, being connected is, you know, something that's definitely interesting, something that's exciting. And, you know, for the notification, you know, for the communication factor, that's a little creepy as far as I'm concerned. Okay, that is still a little bit creepy. It's got a little bit of the creep factor as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, we'll see what happens from there and just move forward as we see fit. One of the other things, one of the big things that CES is known for is all their keynotes. And many of them are boring because as technologists, we are known for technology. I mean, you know, there's not very much humor in a computer because it's an information source. We get the humor off of something else, usually associated, like if we're listening to a comedy routine or we pull something up on YouTube or something of that nature. One of the keynotes that I watched concerning CES, and there was a bunch of them, many presenters were giving two and three keynotes, but one of them that I watched was the Yahoo keynote, where Katie Couric, Melissa Meyer, and David Pogue all took the stage, and in their own way, they all insulted technology. They didn't insult technology, they insulted technologists, the geeks, okay? Where Marissa Meyer and Katie Couric, yeah, sure, they had a nice little back and forth, and I really don't think that Katie Couric's cut out for this space. But David Pogue, he had, I watched it and I had to watch it again, Mart, and I couldn't figure out if he was trying to do a stand-up comedy routine or if he was trying to just appeal to those who might not have been able to keep up. For those playing the home game, David Pogue is a former New York Times journalist, okay? New York Times isn't known for its glam and glitz and humor and everything of that nature. But when David Pogue came on, he started poking fun at some of the tech bloggers that are out there as if to cite that, and they were giving hype to Yahoo Tech, which is their new tech blog and their tech assistants, etc. But here's the thing. If you're going to hype Yahoo Tech, why try and downplay those who could be potential contributors? I mean, they brought The Verge under fire. They brought Engadget under fire. They brought, who else did they bring? There was a few of them. They brought quite a few different tech bloggers under fire with this, okay? And it didn't make any sense to me. And he's just like, okay, so here's all the people in the tech world, and then here is the 5% that are geeks, which, once again, how many of us are actually out there? Yeah, sure, there's about 5%. But as a technologist, Mark, do you have a form of speech that you use with other people, or do you use the same vocabulary with everybody? Okay? For example, the big thing that stuck out with me, David Pogue, he said, this app, this functionality speaks the same language as you and me. It speaks human. Now, my problem, I speak human. I mean, I'm talking to you in a way that you can understand. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, indeed.
And we're having a conversation back and forth. You know, I'll say something and you say something, and we're not going through any, like, translator device or anything of that nature. Is that also correct?
Yeah, I can confirm I don't have a babel fish in my ear.
Okay. So where do... where does David Pogue come up with this, citing that Yahoo Tech speaks human? I mean, I don't try and talk over anybody's head. I don't try and convey that I might know more than the other guy. I mean, I've said it a few different times. Just because the words come out of my mouth don't necessarily mean it's right. Just because I say it doesn't mean that's all there is to it, because there's always two sides. There's even sometimes a third or a fourth. But why would Yahoo, in all of their wisdom, trying to pick themselves up by their bootstraps, present something of this nature, almost as if I won't say I was insulted by it, but it didn't motivate me to go back to Yahoo. Mark, any thoughts concerning Yahoo Tech?
Yeah, I mean, I try to talk the same to people all the time, no matter what I'm doing. And there's a time and a place. You probably know when to adjust how you're talking to someone, especially like on a one-to-one basis if you're trying to convey some information across. And to come out and say it talks human, it's CES. They're all there for the technology. There's no need to try and patronize people. It's just the wrong place. And to me, I think you've just alienated your whole audience and gone, if I was in that audience, I would have thought, you know, F you, I don't need you to explain crap to me like that. That you'd be in a room of people, maybe the over 60s, that you've just given them a phone and they've never had one before. And you'd say, don't worry, this phone will talk back to you, human. That's the time and a place to use that kind of terminology, not CES. It was daft.
Yeah, I watched and, that.
Yeah, like you said, trying to be a comedy, it wasn't.
Yeah, I have a lot of people that tell me I have a very dry sense of humor, and I'm like, well, it's because I spend so much time with computers and things of that nature. You know, and the flip side to that, there is no flip side to it, to be completely honest. I mean, I saw that and I was like, really? I mean, you know, talks human. And I don't know. If they're trying to entice people to come back to Yahoo, I mean, I'll admit, I used to be a longtime Yahoo user. I mean, I had Yahoo as my homepage. I had Yahoo Mail. You know, this was also a very long time ago. But, you know, Yahoo, it just, Marissa Meyer has done a lot of good things when she took over as CEO. But at the same time, there's also some things where they need work. And this, I don't think, is one of the ways to make things better. And I don't know. It just, and unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, due to the storm that swept through the Midwest last week, I am still feeling the repercussions of said storm. Pretty much knocked out the entire state of Illinois for a good 2 days, at least it did in my neck of the woods, and I'm still recovering from some of those drawbacks. Unfortunately, at this time, the network isn't holding stability in a way that I can continue having Mart on, but he will definitely pop in. I've got a UK panel that it's going to be showing up next month, and some various other things like that. The last story that I'm going to jump into right here is, this is directly associated and directly related to not only myself, but also many Samsung users that are out there. And this is in direct relationship to Samsung Knox. This coming straight off the Samsung Knox website, cited 9 January 2014, citing, quote, Samsung has collaborated with Google to produce the following public response to the recent report from Ben-Gurion University Research on vulnerability in Samsung Knox. Recently, there have been reports that security researchers from a university cybersecurity lab found a vulnerability that Samsung Galaxy S4 device with the Knox security platform. After discussing the research with the original researchers, Samsung has verified that the exploit was legitimate. Android network functions in an unintended way to intercept encrypted network connections from and to applications on the mobile device. This research did not identify a flaw or bug in Samsung, Knox, or Android. It demonstrated a classic man-in-the-middle, MITM, attack, which is possible at any point on the network to see unencrypted application data. The research specifically showed that this is also possible via a user-installed program, reaffirming the importance of encrypting application data before sending it to the internet. And the article does go on. It goes into discuss mobile device management, per app VPN, FIPS 1040.2, and various things of that nature. The problem, and the bottom line, is Samsung Knox, which is the overall demonstration and the push in 4.3, okay? This is the security that was designed to assist with the BYOD movement and the implication to lock down the Samsung interface. However, there's problems in it, and they're citing that, quote, because Android reacts in a different way, unintended. Well, guess what? Android is open source, okay? That is what this is about. Apple, Android is open source. It's not designed to be closed up like this. That's why so many enterprise users are having so much problem with this space. This goes back to the conversation I had with Mr. Old School on the show that debuted last week. You know, Android is designed to be open. Bring your own device. It's wreaking havoc on every Android user and network administrator that's out there, okay? The article finishes, Professor Patrick Trainer of Georgia Institute of Technology, an expert on mobile security, previously expressed concerns about the finding by the researchers and reported to the Wall Street Journal. After examining additional details about Knox, Professor Trainer said, quote, proper configuration of mechanisms available within Knox appears to be able to address the previously published issue. Samsung should strongly encourage all their users to take advantage of these mechanisms to avoid this and other common security issues. Okay, so here's the bottom line. Samsung Knox does work when it's utilized within the space it is designed to utilize. Therefore, push applications, push mail, security, etc., security encryptions, they will function the way that they're supposed to. The problem that we're running into, and the problem that is there, and the problem that's running about, and the problem that's giving people issues, is the Android operating system. It's designed to be open. It's designed to be exploited. It's designed to be utilized. It's designed to be that way. Okay? If there is no solid way of security, unless you do as Professor Patrick cited, in utilizing end-to-end encryption, okay? Per app VPN is something that Knox utilizes. This is, quote, the per app VPN feature of Knox allows traffic only from designated and secured applications to be sent through the VPN tunnel. This feature can be selectively applied to applications in containers, allowing fine-grained control over the trade-off between communication overhead and security. The problem here. Per app VPN in the Android environment is not secure. The only surefire security that I've found in my space, and this is something that's going to be coming up again because it's something that is very important as things continue on, the only pure security is found within a certificate. That's it. You've got to have two-party certificate. This SNOX portal tunnel thing, it can work, but it has to have the proper certifications and the proper configuration. Okay, so all the problems, I don't use SNOX. As a matter of fact, the ROM that I'm even using doesn't have SNOX on it because SNOX is designed for a particular brand of individual. It is. Not designed for me, okay? So, you know, with all that in mind, SNOX, good, bad, ugly, I don't know. I need to get in contact with somebody who's actually utilized it. Samsung's trying to get out there and appeal to the executive space, though. They're trying to pick up some more market share. They're trying to get themselves in where maybe Windows Mobile 8 or Apple have been in, okay? They're trying to get people out. You know, and I'm going to cut this a little bit short, folks, just for the simple fact that I've got this iPad mini Retina staring me in the face that I picked up today. Yep, I got it. I haven't gotten into the Microsoft Windows 8 demo, like the school is challenging me to do, but that is definitely on my list of things to do. School starts next week, and I got a whole bunch of other stuff that's going to be going on and getting up and moving forward, but I would invite you all to stay tuned and stay close, folks. Trending Mobile Technology is going to continue to move on, continue to move forward. I've got new guests that are slated up and lined up to continue on with things. And you know, we're all right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Continue to check in, check things out. We got lots of neat stuff going on. Only One Mark, you can find him on blogtalkradio.com. Eat My Goal, where they talk about, well, football, but to us it's soccer, to them it's football, and that's going on, as a matter of fact, too. He gets together with Smokin' Scott, he's got the Guru, you know, the three of them, but he's some great commentary and discussion, and I've learned a lot concerning soccer slash football, just from listening to these guys, you know, and they come up and they talk about what is important to them. So make sure you're checking everybody out, you know, check in, check out, move on. Next week, we got another new show and more stuff, okay? And for all those that are out there, if talking to your home appliances throws you off just a little bit, I'm sorry, but it's coming. It's all part of the Internet of Things, and that is the CES News Forward Program. From all of us to all of you on Trending Mobile Technology, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.